Enjoying the booklets that you got? Did you guys get the booklets, these booklets? Are you enjoying these? In this past 2 weeks, we've been really talking about being on a journey, right? We've been talking about having and casting our identities in Jesus and making that part of our life, of striving to have a unique encounter with our Lord and Savior, encounter with Him, and to be realizing that the bush is still burning and the ground is holy. That's such an extraordinary image that brings to my mind. Imagining being in the presence of God, just like Moses was in the presence of God before the bush. Can you imagine that? Is that something that you can put in your mind and in your heart? Standing before that bush and watching that roaring fire from that bush and it's not consumed. But more than that, is knowing that you're standing on holy ground. Can you imagine that? I hope so, because you're standing on holy ground right now. Well, you're sitting on holy pews. But you're here in the presence of God. Holy Spirit is here in this building, here in your heart, in your life. So that means where you're standing and where you're at and every moment of your day, you're on holy ground. It doesn't change. All you have to remember is that the bush is still burning. And to realize that, to understand that, we really need to communicate with God. We need to have a time of communion with Him to achieve that understanding, to achieve that realization of who we are and where we're at and what God actually thinks of us. We need to have that. In your booklets here, I want to read something from day 14. Now, I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert because today is day 14 in the booklet. So if you haven't looked at it yet, well, you're going to get just a little snippet, not the whole thing. But in the day 14, it talks in here and it says, God blesses our pursuit of a new and fresh relationship with Him. Prayer becomes an act through which God's blessing flows into our lives. Prayer is an active, ongoing pattern that taps into the wellspring of God's grace. Prayer becomes a wellspring that taps into God's grace. Prayer does that. Talking with God does that. A little trivial pursuit for you. You guys know I like to have a little trivial pursuit every once in a while for you. If you guys were to pick up your Bible, right? If you were to pick this up, and you would read one verse a day that contained the word pray in it, it would take you a little over 1 year to do it. There's approximately 367 passages, verses in your Bible that contain the word pray. That's amazing. And it's significant. It's significant because it's the one way which we talk to God. It's the one way in which we talk to God. God, He speaks to us in all different kinds of ways, all different manners. He speaks to us in Scripture. He speaks to us through nature. He speaks to us by the circumstances in our life. He speaks to us through our experiences, through our conscience. He speaks to us through actions and words of others. He speaks to us in dreams and visions. He speaks to us in many different ways. But we can only speak to God, speak to Him in using this one singular method. No matter whether you're writing it down in a journal, no matter whether you're saying it out loud, no matter whether you're saying it in your head, if you're writing it down, you're saying it in your head, you're saying it out loud, and you're saying to God, it's praying. It's prayer. And you're speaking to God. It's important. It's important that we realize this is the only method in which we can talk to God. We talk to God. That's it. And when I pray to God, when I sit down, when I have those moments of just being with God, you know, some of you know that I come in here when on my work days, and the first thing I'll do, I will come in here and I will sit down in the pew and I will spend time praying to God before I even start my work day. And I like to think of that when I do that, or any time that I'm praying to God, that I'm actually doing it and I'm actually visiting with God. We talk about having that conversation with God of listening and speaking. That's visiting. That's something special. It's a time that it feels to me like a real time of just warmth and coziness. That I'm here in God's presence and I'm just visiting with Him. Warmth and cozy. It's kind of like your favorite blanket, or maybe your robe or pajamas or something, right? That you use. I don't know, maybe all of us don't have some of that, but you know, some of us do. I also like to think of it as a time of, well, I remember it almost as a time where I would visit my Grandma Lella at her house. My Grandma Lella, she was great. I remember her house, every time I'd come into the house, it was always warm and cozy. Not just because she had the heat turned up in the winter or even in the summer, but it's because of her heart that was there. It was because of the atmosphere. We would always come in there, and the first thing she would do is she would say hi, of course, but then she'd offer me something to eat, offer anybody something to eat. You know, well, are you hungry? So we had to have something to eat. You never left hungry from Grandma Lella's house. Well, if you did, it was your fault. Because it wasn't like she wasn't insistent on feeding you. She was. Visiting Grandma Lella could take quite a bit of time. If I let it. If I was not too busy. It could take that long time, but Grandma Lella always encouraged us to sit down and just visit. And this sitting down was always in the most familiar place in the house. And perhaps you can think of that most familiar place because it was the kitchen. You'd sit down at the table and she'd be getting stuff ready. She'd be putting it out there for you, whether it was grandma's cookies, some coffee, some tea, whatever else. Maybe it was lunchtime and you were having lunch. We'd sit in the kitchen and we would visit. Grandma Lella would always give wisdom in our talks, but she would sometimes give it in very subtle ways. Sometimes you would really get it, and sometimes it would dawn on you afterwards. But Grandma was full of wisdom. There was no doubt about that. And when it was time to go, to leave Grandma Lella's house, usually the time had gotten away from us, I would always leave with a hug and a kiss. She'd always send us out and say, "See you later. Come back." But the thing is, I always knew with Grandma Lella, I was always welcome back. Anytime to come for a visit, to sit down at the table, and hear from Grandma Lella's wisdom. These memories about Grandma Lella, my grandma that I'm sharing with you, are so close to what time visiting with the Lord is like. Well, to me, that time visiting the Lord is like that, because time with the Lord is a time of warmth and coziness. In fact, it's almost summed up for me in Psalm 23. Now, I know most of you have memorized Psalm 23, but I'm going to read it because I don't want to get the words wrong. We all have the just meaning of Psalm 23, but that time with God is summed up in this great passage. And I want to read it to you. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23 talks about a time of abundance, a time of rest and relaxation. It talks about a time of refreshing, of guidance, of safety, a place where I would never leave hungry, and I was always welcome and wanted back there. To me, it sounds like Grandma Lella's house. Perhaps you guys have an image or something in your heart, a similar place that you guys spent time of just relaxing, being fed, being safe, always being welcomed back, knowing that you were wanted there, knowing it was a place of abundance. They're so special when you find those places and you have those. To me, it's Grandma Lella and it's God. It's a great time. This is why prayer is so important for us. This is why praying to God and being in His presence is so important to us, so we can realize that we are wanted there, that we are welcome there, that we are safe there, that He provides for us there, that everything that we need He has for us there. And we can only realize and see that when we are praying. That's why prayer is so encouraged that we do it. God encourages us to seek Him all the time. Last time we talked about how we were supposed to seek God all the time, right? Jeremiah 29:13 said, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." Do you remember that? Right? It's so important. God says, "I want you to seek me." But God also tells us that He wants to speak with us, that He will listen. He wants us to speak with Him. If you would go to the verse just before this one, God told us this, that then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will call on me. You will come and pray to me and I will listen to you. It doesn't say that, hey, yeah, call me on the phone. I might answer, I might not. Hey, call out in prayer. I might be there. I might be too busy to pick up the phone, but I'll get back to you. No, God says, you will call on me. You will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. It's not a maybe. It says, I will listen to you. And sometimes we forget the fact that we don't think that He's listening, but He's always listening. He's always there. And we're supposed to call out to Him with all of our heart and pray to Him on all occasions. We know this. We read this in our Scripture. We can feel it, that we're supposed to scream out with everything is. But sometimes praying with our heart can seem like such an impossible task. It's impossible at times because our lives become so busy that we don't get the time to take to pray. We sneak in a prayer here and there. We sneak in a moment here and there. We remember, like, you know, some of the statistics that I've reported sometimes about how most people don't even pray 10 minutes at a time. A lot of people don't even pray 1 minute at a time. It's like, what is so hard about praying that you can't take a little time to pray to God? He wants to hear from you. He will listen to you. But the busyness of life gets in the way. And it's not necessarily wrong to pray to God in that manner, that, hey, I've got a moment, I want to pray to God. It's not necessarily wrong for that to happen, as long as it doesn't become the normal prayer that you always do. You know? If you would take time to pray, maybe you're praying 100 times a day and you're taking 30 seconds at a time. Well, that adds up to a significant amount of time. But it's not really time that Jesus gets to sit and visit with you. It's not like being at Grandma Lella's house. We are reassured if we pray to Him that He will listen. But our prayer cannot become so superficial that it's not something that He wants us to do. It's got to be time that we truly sit and we pray to Him with all of our heart, with everything that's in there, with all of the things going on in our lives. It's about bringing all of us to Him. And we're promised, I will listen, He says. You know, Jesus was a perfect example of how to pray and what to pray, right? You guys remember reading about Jesus and him giving out the Lord's Prayer and what we were supposed to pray and, you know, how to begin that? It's a perfect example of that. Jesus came out in Luke where he said, and this is how you pray. When you pray, say this, right? He says, Father, hallowed be your name, right? He says, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. Jesus gave us the blueprint of entering into that time of prayer with the Heavenly Father. And he not only gave us the blueprint of how to pray, but how often to pray and how long to pray. Jesus was a great example of that. He became that example of setting himself aside time to pray. And that time set aside was, we look at that and go, how can I do that? Well, we can do that if we dedicate our time to doing that and we have our priorities straight. But Jesus often, he would go on the mountainsides and he would walk up there and he would spend all night praying to God. He would spend all night praying to God. Jesus prayed all the time to Heavenly Father. He prayed to him for guidance in many areas. He prayed to him just to talk to him. He prayed to him to have that relationship because father and son should have that great relationship like that. He spent all night doing that. He prayed so often. He prayed after he healed many people. He prayed after he heard about John the Baptist's death. He prayed before big events. In fact, the time in Luke 6:12 where he went up and he spent on the whole night praying to God on the mountainside, he did that because he was going before the next day to choose the 12. Luke 6:13 talks about where he chose the 12, but the night before he spent on the mountaintop praying. He spent the whole night to make a big decision. Jesus prayed before he walked on water. Jesus prayed before he was crucified. Jesus prayed all the time. Praying is so important for the relationship that we can have with our Heavenly Lord. Praying is so important that we come together in Him and that we would spend that time visiting. Jesus desires for us to be in a cherished relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's what He desires from us. That we would walk out and we would desire that. We would have such a yearning in our heart to have that unique identity in Him and to have that encounter with God. To know that the bush is still burning and you're standing on holy ground. To have such a feeling that if you go a day without it, that yearning would just overcome you. That you could not go through the day without doing it. How many of us can say that we have that yearning? That if we don't pray, that our day is just off because we didn't do it. To accomplish this relationship, to have what Jesus yearns for us to have, we have to be faithful. We have to accomplish all of that through faithful prayer. But prayer isn't always sunshine and rainbows. Prayer can be raw and real at times. It can be get down in the mud and dig in the muck sometimes. But that's where you truly find God with you, is when you're down in the muck and you're digging and you're trying to find what you've lost. Being in prayer like that is not always a time of serenity. There's many characters you read through the Bible. When they were praying to God, they were not in a moment of serenity. Job was not in a moment of serenity. David was not in a moment of serenity when he was hiding in the caves. Joseph was not in a moment or even an environment of serenity when he was praying to God while being in a prison. Esther was not in a moment of serenity when she had to walk before the king, fearing for her life just because she approached him and not the other way around. She was not at peace in serenity. Daniel, in his moments of exile, or how about even sooner than that, how about Paul? Paul, while he sat in many of the prisons he was at, or he encountered all the many people that he did, not all of them were friends. Time of prayer can be real. It can be raw. But when they prayed, and they prayed faithfully, they found something. They found hope. They found patience. They found peace when they faithfully prayed to God and were visiting with Him. That's just like us. We can find those things when we faithfully pray and we're there just to visit with God. Not just to say, hey, I'm here to get something, but just have time to visit, to sit down, have a bite to eat, glean some of that wisdom in very subtle ways. And then when you get up and you finally leave, you leave with that hug and kiss, and with somebody saying, I'll see you later. You're always welcome back. That's what prayer, faithful prayer does. Faithful prayer gives us something we could not otherwise have. Because some things in life, folks, I'm sorry to say it, but some things in life cannot be done without committed prayer. You have to have committed prayer to be able to do things. Committed, faithful prayer will give you power. It will give you something you otherwise lack to be able to do what you need to do to get through some of the things that you're going through in life. Committed, faithful prayer does that. Power to overcome the circumstances, the trials in your life which could not otherwise be overcome. Prayer does that. Some things can only be done through prayer. I remember Jesus. I'm going to go back with the story with Jesus, one of these accountings that Jesus we get, that he sent out the 12. Do you remember that? When he would send out the 12, he blessed them and he gave them authority. Authority to do many things. Authority to heal disease, to heal the sick. Authority to cleanse people of unclean spirits. He gave them authority to do, to drive out them. But there was one particular instance that the disciples were not able to accomplish their task. And this was at a time when Jesus was actually on the mountainside and he was going through his transfiguration. He and John and James and Peter were there. But the rest of the disciples were down in a different area, in a town. And they were there. And actually, if you guys remember, this is actually on day 4 in the booklet. This passage of Mark 9, where the disciples, those 9 other disciples, were there, and a boy had an unclean spirit in him. But these disciples, these 9 disciples that were there, could not drive out that unclean spirit. He couldn't take care of him. And there was plenty of people there. The father was there, of course, for the boy, right? Because he asked him to do it. You had the teachers of the law there. We know there we had probably other onlookers going on. But when they couldn't drive out this demon, the teachers of the law started arguing with these disciples. Started arguing with Jesus' disciples about what's going on. And finally, Jesus came down from that time of transfiguration on the mountain. And he heard them arguing. And he went up and he asked them, why are you arguing? And he said, they could not clean out the spirit from my son. And he wondered why. See, Jesus didn't have any problem ridding that boy of the unclean spirit. He said a word and it was gone. So what was the problem? Why couldn't the disciples do that? They were able to do it before. Why couldn't they do it this time? Well, I don't know if necessarily it was the disciples' problem. The problem was that there was a genuine unbelief of what God could do. Jesus actually told them, he said that to him in Mark verse 19. He says, "You are an unbelieving generation. You don't believe. You don't believe it can be done." So that's why it did not happen. And he went on to say in verse 29 of that same chapter, he says, "This kind can only come out by prayer." Now some translations say prayer and fasting, King James Version. By prayer and fasting that this happens. But it wasn't the prayer and fasting that was the problem. It was the unbelief. So why do we pray and why do we fast? Why do we do those things? You know, deep-rooted prayer leads to faith in believing that it could happen, that anything could happen through our Lord. Prayer so intense that everything else is left behind. You ever had prayer like that? While you're praying and everything else is left behind, nothing can interfere with you and the Lord at that moment. This is why we fast. This is why we take time out of our day and we remove something that becomes so ingrained in our lives, it becomes an influence to us and it becomes something that interrupts our prayer and interrupts our time with God. We fast so that everything else gets left behind except the prayer. We pray so we can be powered by God, so that we can have true faith in Him and that anything can happen. It's not about the act of fasting, it's about the act of prayer. Fasting leads to that. It's about where we find ourselves during that time of fasting and how we interact with God through fasting. It's about being genuine. We were speaking together, Pastor Jess and I and the group up here, and we're talking about genuinely being with God and genuinely fasting. It's not fasting if you give up something and then you just replace it with something else. Discussion is had. It's not fasting if you give up Facebook and the next thing you know you're putting all your time into YouTube shorts. That's not fasting. Most people associate fasting with food because when you go without food, what happens? Your tummy grumbles, right? And you're reminded of why you're fasting, that you're fasting so you can thank God for all that He gives you and you can spend time in God's presence worshiping Him. If you give up Facebook and you replace it with YouTube, your tummy does not grumble. You haven't really given anything up. The same thing goes as when after the 21 days happens, if you've given up something in life like social media or food or whatever else, and then you incorporate it back in right away so it becomes a distraction, then what you did for 21 days was for naught. It's about being genuine. There's a passage in the Bible that we can truly learn a lot about genuineness and being authentic. And it comes in the book of Acts. And this one I would love for you to pick up your Bibles or your apps and read with me. I want you to look at the words in Acts. Acts chapter 19. And see the lessons and hear the lessons and understand the lessons about being genuine in there. Acts 19. And if you're there, just run your finger down to verse 13 where we're going to be starting. Where it says, "Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, 'In the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out.' Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you?' Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Look at those passages in there. It says these people went out driving out evil spirits, invoking the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. We have these seven sons of Sceva doing this. Sceva is the chief priest's name, by the way. So we have the seven sons of this chief Jewish priest doing these things, invoking Jesus' name. Now, it doesn't tell you whether they had been successful beforehand, but we know they weren't successful this time. And I would almost bet that they weren't successful the first few times, or however many times, because they did not believe in Jesus, who gives the authority to be able to drive out these unclean spirits. Jesus has authority over unclean spirits, and he gives authority to those he wishes to be able to do those things that he's asking them to do. And these seven sons did not believe in Jesus, so they did not have the authority to drive out anything. And then they wonder why. And you get this one evil spirit in here, this one proud enough and bold enough to say, you know what? I don't know you. I know Jesus, who you're talking about, and I know about Paul because he was given authority by Jesus to do it. But I don't know you, and he threw him a whipping. They got a whooping. They left the house what? Naked and bleeding. They weren't genuine in their faith. They didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't believe in anything but themselves. So it's no, it's no reason. I mean, yeah, why would they be able to drive out anything? They didn't believe. But there's something else that we also look at and we read about. If you go further and continue to read in there, you can see where what happened after that. What happened? You had a number of people in that area that then looked at that. And because these seven sons were given such a beating, they started believing in Jesus. Maybe perhaps they'd seen Jesus do something. Maybe perhaps they had seen Paul do something. I don't know. But they started believing in Jesus. And they believed in him so bad, what did they do? They had their own genuine faith about Jesus. Many of them began to believe, and they repented. They repented so much that some of them that brought their scrolls of sorcery, and they burned them all in that area. A considerable amount of money. In fact, it says scriptures, if you go down and you peek down on that, it says 50,000 drachmas. You know what a drachma is? That's 1 day's worth of wage. 1 day's worth of wage. You know how many 50,000 drachmas is? That's 136 years worth of wages for a person. 136 years worth of wages they burned up that day because of believing and having a genuine faith in Jesus, having a genuine faith in what our Lord and Savior does and who he is, having a genuine faith and living in that faith. That's what fasting leads to, prayer. Prayer leads to faith. A genuine faith. You know, as we continue our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I hope you guys are finding time to visit with Jesus. To just sit down at the table and talk to him. Having a conversation, a genuine conversation with him. A time of recognizing that fasting and prayer is the tools that will lead you closer in relationship with Jesus. It will lead you to that point if you're doing it in a genuine, authentic manner. It will increase your faith. And I pray that you continue to chase the fresh fire that I want you to have. That you want to have, chasing that fire down and realizing that your identity is built in Christ and nothing else. To realizing that the ground is holy and the bush is still burning. It really is. If you find yourself getting there through these 21 days, I pray that you would continue to strive for more, to wanting more of that in your life, even well after these 21 days. But if you find yourself not quite there yet, I pray that you would strive to continue this journey until you realize that an encounter with God is real. And yes, sometimes we have to walk in a desert, striding through the wilderness. But most of the time, that's where God really, truly encounters us. And if we look around and we wait for it and we see it and we pray and we fast and we visit with God, you will have an encounter. You will have an encounter. So if that's you, if you want the encounter, you haven't received it yet, that's what we pray for. Come tonight and pray for that. Pray for an encounter with God right now. Pray for an encounter with God at home. Pray for an encounter with God tonight. Pray for an encounter with God wherever, everywhere, all the time. Doesn't stop. Pray for the encounter. If you know you've received that encounter before and you want another encounter, pray for that. Say, God, I've seen you in person in my life, but I want to see you so much more in my life. Tonight is a perfect time to do that. If there is somebody here that is on your heart that's even not here tonight, somebody else that doesn't even come to New Life per se, invite them along. Invite them to have an encounter with God wherever you're at. We will provide a warm environment to do that. And I pray everybody would truly desire that encounter with God. And as I go off on my trip this next weekend, this is what I'm hoping for. I'm going to go to Africa, and I'm going to have an encounter. And when I have that encounter, I'm going to bring it back. And then we're going to bring that encounter to you, and you're going to give it to somebody else, and it will go down the line. And we'll continue to have those encounters. Continuing to bring God's salvation, God's heart, God's love. Just bringing God. Just bringing Jesus to everybody. I don't mind talking about revival in Africa. That's okay. But I love talking about revival here in this community. Because we can use a revival. We can use a renewal wherever we're at. So as we get up, we're going to stand up together. We're going to worship our Lord. We're going to pray to Him. And we're truly going to be experiencing a moment with God as we were sitting down at the kitchen table. We're having a bite to eat. And then He's going to leave us with a hug and a kiss and say, I'll see you later. You're welcome back anytime. Why don't we stand and we'll just praise the Lord. Remember, your identity is built on Him and nothing else.